Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Being on stage feels like someone else, but also more yourself than you've ever felt.
This feels like getting to live in your imagination.
Seeing everyone again brought back so many memories.
Being able to be in this show will be one of the greatest treasures of my life.
Hello and welcome back to everyone's favorite patron-only podcast, Patreon with Cheese. I, of course, am Jesse McNally, and I'm joined as always by our wonderful video editor and good friend, Elizabeth Esten! Yay!
I'm back!
The mono did not take her from us very long.
Yeah, no. Shout out to Joel Arnold for stepping in. He's the man. Mm-hmm. Appreciate him.
He's a good fella.
He's a good egg. Yeah, the mono didn't get me. I'm still here. I still a lot of sleep.
So, yes. How are you feeling today?
A lot better. I feel like a normal person. I just can't share food with people because I might get them sick. So
it's just like the Rona. Just kind of keep them away. Don't make out with everyone.
Yeah, it's not like I do that anyway.
On that note, we are starting a new series today. Of course, we are going to be super biased, or at least I am, probably not as much Liz, because our good friend Adam Wachter is a featured player in a good majority of these episodes. But we are talking about the Disney Plus series Encore, which is marketed with Kristen Bell, who recorded maybe an hour and showed up maybe 15 minutes.
Yeah.
I'm sure that's very... and then got a producing credit for probably getting paid nothing for it.
Absolutely.
Did you know about this show beforehand?
I did, because they heavily marketed it before Disney Plus came out. And
yes.
I was like, wow, this looks like a show. Am I going to watch it? Probably not.
So, Disney Plus, even before it became a thing, was really, really, like, the thunderous thing. Like, you felt that it was a big thing, because it was super dirt cheap. It was, like, $6 a month, especially compared to, like, the $15 of Hulu. It just went up, like, a bunch of money this year, but at the time, I was like, wow, that's a good marketing play. I'll get this. That's cheap.
I also pre-ordered it with the yearly plan,
right.
So I have the discounted price, and I split my subscription with three people, so.
Technically, I do the yearly plan as well.
Yeah.
But this show started as just a special on ABC before this, where they did Into the Woods, and it was basically like a testing ground to see, oh, let's see how well this works. And then they turned it into this full series. And we had already had Adam on the show before this show premiered. We had him on for Merrily and I believe one other episode. And then he's like, oh, yeah, we're coming on to Disney Plus. And I was like, oh, Mr. Big Bags over here coming with that Disney money.
Because
he's very an open, frank dude in general. That was the reason why he's a perfect Musicals with Cheese guest, is because he's going to talk shit about people and it's the best thing in the world, and he's going to not mince feelings, and he's hilarious. So that also means a compliment from him means the fucking world, and we have received several from him.
Yeah.
But I was like, I wonder if he's going to Disney-fy himself when he's on the show, and he definitely did not. Which is great.
It's a very Disney show at times, and he's a blessing. And I'm just like, okay, thank God.
They know when to use a cut to him.
Yeah, I did not know he was on the show before, but prior to this, I only had nice things to say about him. So he's delightful.
Mm-hmm.
He's on point. Like, this is a disaster, but it'll be fine. Which is just like high school theater in a nutshell. Like, your first tech rehearsal is like the worst thing ever, and your actors all hate it, and it's like, oh my god, this is gonna be the worst show ever. And I'm like on my third year of theater, and I'm like, guys, this is always goes terrible, because the pit is a bunch of band students that I am friends with, because I'm in the concert band, and they're like, they're not like the best musicians, guys, give them a minute.
It is incredible. So what's the premise of this show? And let's talk about the first episode, the Annie episode.
Annie. So basically a class of, so the 1996 production of, there's a 1996 production of Annie at a high school in California. And now all these years later, they've come back together to perform it again in their same parts. and reminisce about high school and their lives, and that's the show. It's very simple.
Yeah, it's got a formula. It's like a Food Network show. You come for the same thing every week, but different flavors.
There's not much to it, really, but it works because it's, like, the cast is charming. They feel like, because they're people. They're not, like, reality show people being told what to do behind the scenes.
Yeah, you don't get the prodding and massaging the way you do in a lot of other kind of similar shows where it's like, let's stir up some drama.
Yeah, like you can tell, like, there's other shows, there's people poking the bear in the back being like, talk about this person.
Talk some shit.
Tell them their outfit is terrible. Tell
don't
them.
Don't you think that you should have gotten the lead?
That's
you know,
episode
that kind
two.
Of stuff. yes. But stuff like that is very few and far between, and they lean very hardcore into the sentimentality.
Yeah.
And this is my third watch of the show, because I watched it, like, I was more excited for the show than I was The Mandalorian when Disney Plus premiered, because
I haven't even seen The Mandalorian.
So I was watching this weekly, like, the morning they came out on the Fridays, and every time it was just a delight. So this is my third go-around.
This is my first,
And people that I've watched it with always tend to say, these people cry at the drop of a hat. And I'm like, have you met theater people?
There's a lot of
any
crying
chance
in
to cry,
theater.
They love to do it.
There's a lot of crying in theater. Even I did stage crew. There's a lot of crying in theater.
Especially in the actors, which is mostly the focus of this. I feel bad that none of the stage crew except for, like, the directors were brought back.
Yeah, like, if this show ever occurred at my high school, I would not be invited. I'd just be like, hi, I worked on this show. I built that porta potty for Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. I did, though. I built a porta potty for Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
Because you're good with your hands and the show wouldn't exist without the crew people.
No, they wouldn't. Shout out to the high school stage crew. They built a lot of, they build stuff.
I am always impressed by the high school stage crew because it's always the students and they're better than a lot of the other ones.
Yeah. Also, at least at my high school, we had to stay after school longer than most of the mm-hmm. cast because the actors had to dance and stuff for a lot of the shows. So we'd stay after school and then they'd leave at like 5:00. And then me and the stage crew would stay till like 9:30 to build sets. And then the next morning I'd go into homeroom and my friend who is still my friend, I love her to death. She'd be like, oh, I'm so tired. There's a lot of dancing last night. I'm like, girl, I got home at 9:45 last night and I still have to do my homework. I'm exhausted. Don't talk to me about exhaustion.
These fucking theater kids and
these
their goddamn
actors.
Dancing.
It was West Side Story at the time in her defense.
Oh,
so, like, there's a lot of dancing
that is
in that show.
Dancing.
A lot of dancing. Was
it correctly racially cast or was it racist?
Not at all. was very white.
But did they do the pancake mix on a white girl's face and called her a black woman like my high school did?
They did not do that, but we used slightly... No, Maria was just white. We didn't even put makeup on her. We just kept Maria white. It was fine. Oh, our Tony and Maria were just white.
Bad. Bad job, you guys.
It was fine. It was fine. Anyway, Annie.
So who do you think was the MVP? Like, I think the thing I want to ask in every episode, who do you think was the MVP of this acting group?
MVP of this acting group? Ugh, that's hard. I really like the guy who played Rooster for some reason.
The Jehovah's Witness?
Yeah, that guy. I don't know. I really liked him for some reason. He just, like, was really, like, he was, like, really happy to be there. He had a very small part. He, like, relished in it the whole time.
I mean, they're always the best one. The person that shows up and has a blast and then leaves, they're like winning third place and loving it.
Oh, yeah. No, but I'd say the actual one is the chick who played Annie, because she went through a lot emotionally in those like 5 days and she knocked it out.
Yeah. And it doesn't hold back on how hard life is at all. Like, I remember a girl just driving her kids around and it's like, oh, you love me. No, I don't. And it's like, man, kids suck.
Kids.
That felt like the vibe of the entire episode. Man, wouldn't it suck to have some kids?
Except for the one lady who's just like, I woke up in my large hotel bed and I kind of missed the feet in my face. And I was like, what?
I mean, yeah. Some
I understood her, though. Like, I get it. Like, missing your small children is valid. Especially when you have a bunch of them.
Mm-hmm. But there was also, like, the one where she's like, the kids are overrated. Like, You can't say that. Well, I just did.
She
I'm like, has go.
She has good. She's allowed to say that.
But it's something you don't often see in media, especially Disney media. Oh, it's like parents that don't really like being parents and people, older folks that didn't quite live the dreams they wanted.
Yeah, like they ended up just being parents doing smaller jobs, even though they wanted to do bigger stuff. But like they're happy with their current circumstance.
Right.
They ended up happy. It just wasn't their like goal in life.
I mean, yeah. I mean, does anyone ever end up happy? I feel like even the most successful people don't really end up happy. Look at Will Smith. He looks miserable.
Yeah, but he might get an Oscar on this year. So
what did he do? Did he do Pursuit of Happiness 2?
No, he did not do Pursuit of Happiness 2. Jaden Smith would definitely do that, though, to get his career, get their career back going. But he's starring in the Serena Williams father biopic.
Why do we need to hear about their father? I want to know about the women.
Apparently, there's a movie about Serena Williams' dad. The Serena Venus Williams' dad coming out, starring Will Smith.
You know who there's Oscar buzz about right now?
Kristen Stewart?
Like, not that one, for supporting actress, but I have heard that one. Laura Benanti.
Oh,
there's
no.
Talking Oscar talk for Laura Benanti.
For what movie?
There's a new Michael Keaton movie about the people getting reparations from 9/11, and she plays his daughter, and apparently it's like, no, she's a big Oscar contender. I'm like, Laura fucking Benanti is a Oscar contender? What fucking universe am I in? I feel like, yeah, she's incredible, I love her, but Broadway people usually don't stretch that far that quickly.
I hate that. No, that's not right in the universe. No.
Yeah, like, I'm happy for her, it's great, but it feels wrong to hear that.
This is not the universe I want to live in. I don't need Broadway people to already be Oscar contenders. Like, give them me, like, 10 years.
Or be a Hannah Waddingham. Use it as a stepping stone.
Yeah, exactly. And then just being, like, the greatest TV show of all time, apparently. I've not seen Ted Lasso, so, like...
She's very good in it. She's also in Hocus Pocus 2.
Yeah.
Which I hope she's, like, a witch or something, because she...
Yeah.
She's the best person to ever play the witch in Into the Woods, let me just say that. Yeah. Her interpretation of that character is the most heart-wrenching ever to be performed.
Good to know. Yeah, I've seen one episode of Ted Lasso from season 2, and I half watched it because I was in the room in the living room with my parents when they watched it. It was the funeral episode, and she was very good in it.
She sang Rick Astley.
She did. It was very good. It's very good. Now I should probably watch the rest of the show, but you know,
you really should. Am I gonna have to fucking do it as a Patreon with cheese thing just to make you watch Ted Lasso?
No, I'll watch Ted Lasso. My sister and my parents are trying to get me to watch Ted Lasso, so there's a bunch of people telling me to watch Ted Lasso. So
you'd like it.
You're not
it's
the only
vibe.
One. Yeah, I know. And I know it's not just about the soccer. I get it. Like, I get it. It's not just about the sports.
Yeah, you look at me. Do I look like I've ever touched a sports ball?
I don't. You look like a guy who's never watched a single sports game, ever.
I watch one sports game a year. One. I watch the Michigan versus Michigan State football game because I want to watch Michigan fans cry. I love it. It is my favorite thing to do.
That seems like such a you thing to do. It's so sadistic.
What the fuck does that mean?
I'm joking. Wait.
I hate people from Ann Arbor, except when they're on our show. You know, like Joel Arnold or Adam Wachter. I hate everyone else from Ann Arbor, though.
Joel Arnold's
anyone
the exception.
That went... I mean, Joel Arnold, Adam Wachter, Andrew Lippa, they all graduated U of M. Any Broadway star you know is either graduated from Carnegie Mellon or U of M, and I hate people from U of M, so I'm gonna fight y'all.
Oh, God.
Ann Arbor's the worst place on the planet, and if you like Ann Arbor, you're wrong, objectively.
My aunt lived in Ann Arbor for many years.
And I bet she's not there anymore now, is she?
No, she's not.
She finally decided to become a real human being.
No, she got a job in another state on the East Coast, I won't say.
She became a real human being and moved to a real city, not some fucking plastic city up in the middle of Michigan that no one... You know those, like, weird towns that they'd set up for nuclear explosions? That's Ann Arbor,
okay.
Where it's just plastic people stashed all around pretending to be human.
Maybe we should just have an episode where Jess rants about Michigan instead of me discussing anything. And I just nod my head, like, yeah.
There is an episode here that takes place in Michigan, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, there is. It's episode 3. It takes place in Flint.
Yep. back to Annie. Who do you think was the, what's the opposite of an MVP? The LVP.
The loser VP?
The least valuable
player. Honestly, I can't, maybe the teacher? She had one line.
She needed to have 3 hours of rehearsing her line.
She had one line. It took her 3 hours to grasp it. I will give it to the dog, but that dog is so cute. I can't.
That dog did its best.
That dog did a good job considering it had like 2 days to learn to walk to certain places.
What about the Daddy Warbucks? His entire backstory and his arc of getting over shaving his head.
I really liked it. It felt, this show feels really genuine through and through, and that felt like one of the most genuine things. Like when he calls his wife and is like, "I don't want to look like I have cancer."
Yeah,
like
I feel
he's
that.
Heartbroken, and like my dad went through a cancer scare a few years ago, so like I felt that really hard. He's okay now. They took it out before it spread, so he's good. He's good. Papa Eston is all good. But yeah, I did really feel that, especially because I was going through from the outside a few years back, and I was just like, "Oh shit, this is like memories."
Yeah, I like that part a lot. It felt genuine, and it's a thing that men often don't get a chance to talk about in media is their own insecurities, especially with disease. And he seems like a very masculine alpha leaning vibe to him.
Yeah,
so
he's a sheriff.
To admit that, yeah. I mean, ACAB, but...
Yeah, ACAB, absolutely.
But it felt really nice to see that. And him get over it and shave the head and become stronger for that.
Yeah. And I hope that barbershop guy went to the show. We didn't see him at the show, but I hope he went.
Yeah.
Like, here's your work on display. Like, probably like, okay.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks.
I ain't going.
I love Annie.
Can we talk about Annie? Like, what do you think of Annie as a musical?
Here's the thing. I did Annie Jr. in sixth grade.
Cringe as fuck.
It was the first theater musical I ever did in my life.
Did you like it?
I honestly hate Annie.
Sound like Andrew.
I do sound like Andrew. Finally. No, I'm kidding. I am discount Andrew. You need a backup, Andrew.
You do wear a lot of plaid shirts to be Andrew, I will say that.
I do. I do love a plaid
shirt.
And
you do give me just as much shit as Andrew every day.
I apologize for that.
He never does. That's what sets you apart from Andrew.
Oh, because
he would never apologize.
Andrew's known you longer, so he doesn't have to apologize anymore. Like, I give my boyfriend shit sometimes as, like, a joke and out of love, obviously, and I don't apologize all the time for it.
He doesn't just turn to you and be like, "I want you to stop being mean to me."
No, because I'm very affectionate right after I give him shit, so then he's like, "Oh, okay."
So you're the other meme where it's like I treat my boyfriend who gives me everything like shit, and he's like, "God bless you."
Now, I'm a sarcastic asshole around him sometimes, or I'm just like...
You love him.
I love him to death. I love him very much, and I also just like to poke fun at him sometimes.
I mean, no one's funnier than your spouse.
Absolutely. Your spouse is the funniest person you know 98% of the time.
100%.
100%.
I will say, my girlfriend is the only one that can really make me laugh. Andrew and my girlfriend are literally the only two people that can literally make me laugh until I'm fucking wheezing.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And my girlfriend is a very stoic human being, so when I get her laughing into, like, a fit where she can't even fucking breathe, is my favorite thing on the planet.
Oh, yeah. Same. No. Not with Miranda,
Annie.
Obviously. But, Annie, I have... Annie was the first thing I worked on. I hated every moment of it. It was so schmaltzy. I wanted to vomit every 10 seconds. It was just like, I want my parents to find me. I want to find happiness. And I'm just like, kid, I'm in sixth grade at this point. And I'm just like, this is way too schmaltzy. I can't.
It's too optimistic a viewpoint.
It's a little...
That she goes and moves in with Daddy Bezos.
Daddy Bezos. He does look at Jeff Bezos. He's the richest man in New York.
billionaire.
I also I hate that his name is Daddy Warbucks, because back when this was written, daddy wasn't a weird term that the internet ruined.
Yeah.
And now the internet has ruined the word daddy.
It's ruined mommy too.
Yeah. I mean, the only...
Mommy, sorry. Mommy?
It's ruined mommy. I will only accept it, the word daddy, in the context of Jeff Goldblum, and that is it. And I will go with the backup phrase of zaddy, which is not as egregious to me.
Yeah, I agree. And daddy long legs. I accept that one.
Yeah, that's fine. That's a spider. Like, that's fine. I can't accept Daddy Warbucks in any way. I'm pretty sure in the 2014 Annie, they don't call him. They give him an actual name?
Yeah, Will Stacks.
Oh,
Stacks. You get it?
Oh, that's even worse. That's even worse somehow.
Did I tell you about what that movie was supposed to be and how it became the train wreck it was?
I think you did in the Cinderella episode, because it was made by Sony.
Yeah, where it was a vanity project for Will Smith and Willow Smith. Yeah. And
then it broke down, and then they got Kevonjanae Wallace.
Poor Kevonjanae.
And then it fucked up her career so severely she hasn't worked since, and I feel so
bad. Same with Cameron Diaz.
I feel so bad for Kevonjanae Wallace. She's such a talent. Like, oh my
God. She was like the best actress like in a long time. Yeah. Best young actress.
Yeah.
And she's great in that Annie movie. It's just the movie around her is bad.
Yeah, and the auto-tune on her is very bad.
I can't even tell if she has a good voice or not because it's so intense.
Yeah, everyone has intense auto-tune. I don't know if anyone can sing in that movie.
Jamie Foxx can, but you couldn't tell because of that movie.
Yeah, like, thank God. Yeah, he is singles, though. We can tell.
Yeah, I've watched Dreamgirls. He can sing.
Yeah, I watched 10 minutes. I watched like half an hour of Dreamgirls once.
I watched the Tony Awards.
I've
watched Ray.
But yeah, so... I do not like Annie. Also, the dog we had in our production hated everyone. The dog would not cooperate.
I mean, it's an animal. You can't blame it being forced to perform.
I know. Luckily, my middle school redeemed itself the following year by doing High School Musical Junior.
Was that one better, at least?
Only slightly, but only because I had slightly more sets to do.
Oh, no.
Only slightly.
Stuff you know. Like and comment if you want us to do High School Musical, the musical, the show.
I watched that.
Is it good?
You know, well, you were watching Encore every week it came out. I was watching High School Musical, the series.
I did not watch anything of that.
I did. It made me feel like a high school theater kid again. I was just like, I felt me feel very nostalgic. Though ever since that Olivia Rodrigo album came out, I can't watch the show anymore. I haven't seen season 2 yet because all the drama happened in between seasons.
What happened?
Okay. God, I get it.
All right, I'm ready.
You gotta
sit
down for this. Okay, so...
I'm leaning back.
All right, he is leaning back. I can't confirm. You guys can't see him, but I can confirm he's leaning. So Olivia Rodrigo and Joshua Bassett are the leads of the show. They started dating. And then allegedly, maybe, Joshua Bassett may have cheated on Olivia Rodrigo with Sabrina Carpenter while they were dating. And then Olivia Rodrigo wrote Sour... which is basically about how Joshua Bassett fucked her over for most of it. That's what Driver's License is about, essentially.
Oh.
It's about Joshua Bassett and Sabrina It's about a little bit about Sabrina Carpenter and a lot about Joshua Bassett.
I thought it was just about ripping off Paramore.
No, that's Good For You.
Oh.
That's a different song.
that one's not about Joshua Bassett?
That's also about Joshua Bassett.
Oh.
I'm pretty sure Deja Vu is also about Joshua Bassett.
Fuck.
Yeah, a lot happened. There's an entire SNL sketch explaining this, if you want the details.
How is Disney gonna make season 3?
Well, they made season 2. They're friends again. Like, they...
Oh, it just takes an album for you guys to become friends again?
Well, they probably talked about it, like, off screen or something, and, like, worked it out, like, adults, because, you know, Olivia Rodrigo turned 18, so now she's adult. She's an adult now. Also, Joshua Bassett's, like, 22, so there's a little bit of an age gap there.
Oh, that was a child...
Yeah, they started
statutory
dating...
Statutory rape situation?
They started dating when she was 17, and he was, like,
That's
21.
Gross. That's gross. Don't be doing that.
Yeah, don't be doing that. It's a little gross, but...
I told you about the time that I rejected someone because I was a senior and they were a freshman. I was like, yeah. I know it doesn't seem like that much right now, but in 3 years, this is going to be huge and get me in trouble. So you're very sweet, but I don't think we can do this. And now she works for NASA. So
she's
I know. She's like in California working for SpaceX. She transferred there from NASA. And I'm like, there's no way me being involved in her life would have been a positive.
She'd be in Michigan right now.
I'm like, man, there's no way that me being a presence in her life in any way would have improved it at all.
Oh, God.
I think about that sometimes.
Oh, God. But yeah, no, I'd be down. Honestly, if you guys want to hear about High School Musical, the series, I have.
That sounds like fun.
Already watched it. Also, the title is way too long. I feel like I'm talking gibberish every time I say it. High School Musical, the series.
Yeah, it's too long. I agree. And that's part of the reason why I didn't like it. Felt too meta.
Yeah. I watched first. And also, it's formatted like The Office.
So it's like The Muppets?
Yes.
The ABC Muppets show?
Ugh. Yes. It's kind of like that.
Man. But it didn't even work with the best characters in the world, The Muppets.
But the acting is slightly better than The Muppet Show. I've seen the first episode of the ABC Muppets because it's on Disney Plus, and I was like, oh, this is terrible. Oh.
Okay, let me. I defended this with Joel when we were on there. The first half of that series is very bad. The second half is some of the best Muppets content ever.
Okay, so like, I gotta keep going.
They course corrected halfway through in a point where I'm like, I would watch like an entire like six season arc with these fucking characters. Like I wish that shows were given like the time to kind of figure themselves out.
Yeah.
In that way.
So it's like a Parks and Rec situation where like the first season didn't work because they didn't know how to write Leslie Knope, and then they figured out how to write Leslie Knope, and then it became like the best show ever, at least for me.
Yeah. I feel like the Muppets could have become that, but they were not given that chance.
Yeah,
sadly.
But then now they have Muppets Now on
which sucks.
Disney Plus.
That was just not me.
And then they have the Haunted Mansion thing you talked about with Joel, which I kind of glad I didn't have to watch.
It was fun. It was a fun watch.
It's true. Maybe I'll check it out. I love spooky stuff all year round. So
yeah, maybe next Halloween you and I will talk about it properly.
Yeah.
So. How would you describe this first episode? Do you think they nailed it, or did they fuck it up, their performance? They had 1 week to put it together.
Oh, God. Yeah, I think they did their damnedest. It's really tough to pull together a musical within months in a high school-ish setting when you're...
Right.
So, like, being adults and doing it in a week and not having trained theater experience, like, oh, my God. That's a lot to... I'm bad at memorizing lines, and like, oh, I can't imagine memorizing all those lines in a week, especially Annie. Like, oh gosh. And it was rough in patches. It's obviously going to be rough in patches. It's always rough in patches the first go. So
your
first
one is always the only thing.
Yeah. But I think they did a solid job.
Yeah. I don't know if bringing out Kristen Bell right before you perform and saying I'm going to be in the audience the best nerve soother.
No, I think that probably made it worse for some of them.
Yeah, and I love that she came out and gave the intro and was like, I don't know anything about them, I just want to see it. Like, she made it sound like she was there from day one from her speech, but we as the audience who watched it know that she just showed up. So she's like, I don't really know what else to say, I just want to see it. I'm like, you don't know what to say, because, bitch, you weren't here.
Yeah, Chris, you're an executive producer at this show, and you filmed the intro, all the intros within, like, an hour, probably. Because it's you just sitting in a chair while a camera goes around you. Actually, no, the camera doesn't move. The camera doesn't move. I think
there's just two cameras. There's a stationary camera and a moving camera.
That's right. There's not even much going on. It probably took an hour.
Yeah.
And then she shows up like, I'm so proud of all of you, but you didn't see anything.
In other episodes, she does show up and coach them, but that was not the case this episode.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of get why. There's a lot happening between the people.
Yeah.
So I think the airtime got clogged up by that, really.
And sometimes the last thing you need in a situation is a very high Kristen Bell showing up, being like, I love you guys. I'm going to eat something.
I didn't think she was high, but maybe I'm bad at receiving.
She's
high
a big stoner.
Oh, that makes
she
sense.
She is a big stoner.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, actually. I mean, she was on the
which is fine.
She was on the Good Place, so.
Yeah, I mean, you have to be high to be able to understand that show.
I love that show, too. Holy shit.
That show's great.
Yeah.
Very well written.
Also, Manny Jacinto is very good in other things. He's very good in Nine Perfect Strangers.
Yeah, and the gentleman that plays Chidi is very good in Midsommar.
Oh, he's very good in a lot of things. Also, he's very attractive.
He would be a great Superman.
He'd
be my number one choice.
He's my number one choice for Superman right now. It's probably going to be Reggae John Page, though. He's a slightly more high profile at this moment.
Superman should be high profile.
That's true. Henry Cavill wasn't famous when he became Superman, so. And now he's The Witcher, so.
I haven't watched that either.
Actually,
I watched the first few episodes until, like, the Hunchback Lady became hot, and I was like, you are my favorite character. I'm done with this show. I wanted you to remain that way.
There's a guy I kind of dated in high school who's really into the Witcher games, so I was like, nah, I'm good.
On that note, we'll see you next week.
Wait, I forgot cheese rating.
Do we do that per episode? I forget. Okay, what would you give this episode as a cheese rating?
I am going to give it a quesadilla for my local pizza place that I would eat during late night builds in high school. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to say the pizza place because I won't dox myself.
I will give it one of those baby blue or baby Babel cheese wheels that are red because it reminds me of Annie's dress.
Ah, that's cute.
Together at last, together forever.
Let me adopt all the orphans, because I am rich.
He didn't adopt all of them.
Yeah, he did.
No, FDR comes in and is like, I will find homes for every one of you, personally.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. I think I Mandela'd affect myself to thinking that Daddy Warbucks adopted all of them.
No, because you Mandela'd affected the Peter Pan ending.
Ah, I did. And I did Peter Pan in high school, so.
Yep. But no, I remember that because I remember being like, the president's gonna...
FDR just rolls in. It's just like, I will find you homes.
No, he shows up as the Deus Ex Machina for everything. He's like, hello, it is me, FDR. Annie, your parents are dead.
Deus Ex FDR.
Also, these men are criminals.
If anyone wants to draw Deus Ex FDR, that'd be freaking amazing. FDR just coming to save the day in various properties. Like the Avengers.
He saves the day at the end of Avengers Endgame, and I am the New Deal. Snip.
He's just, like, Tony Stark is about to do the thing, and then FDR grabs him from.
One other thing, Star Wars shows up, saves Han Solo.
He shows up behind Palpatine with a lightsaber, like, through his chest in Rise of Skywalker, and Palpatine falls down. It's like FDR is there. Space FDR, he's wearing an Obi-Wan hood.
I am FDR.
I am in space.
I have the Green Milk New Deal.
He has various different New Deals depending on the properties he's in. I'm here to save the galaxy from too much E.T. cameos or some bullshit like that. E.T. makes a cameo in episode 3.
Episode 1, excuse you.
Sorry, my bad.
They vote a no confidence of Terrence Stamp so that we can place Palpatine in. Do you not remember the engaging plot of Star Wars Episode 1, The Phantom Menace?
Oh, I love...
And that the E.T. people are the reasons why we have Palpatine.
I loved all the tariff discussions in that movie. It was so exciting. I learned so much about tariffs. Space tariffs.
Man. Never did I think that taxation could be so boring, but my gosh.
Space taxation is even more boring than regular taxation.
On that note, we'll see you next time on Patreon with Cheese.
Peace out.
Being able to be in the show will be one of the greatest treasures of my life.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the Rise Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RiseTheatre.org, because only together we rise.